Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this great... on God's green earth, and yes, it is still the greatest nation on God's green earth, despite the fact that more and more Americans have a sense that the country is falling apart. And certainly one of the contributing factors has been the pandemic, and that's the only word for it, of fentanyl and meth addiction. 110,000 people dying of overdoses in the last year, and 70% of them with fentanyl. With all this going on, what is the approach? The approach that many people in positions of power have taken has been drug decriminalization, what they call harm reduction. That's completely wrong, says Sam Quinones, who is one of our leading writers and researchers on the issue of drugs and the devastation of drugs. He has a new piece in The Atlantic under the heading, "In a Time of Fentanyl and Meth, Drug Decriminalization is a Mistake." And Sam Quinones is a journalist and a storyteller. He's a former L.A. Times reporter. He's the author of four acclaimed books of narrative nonfiction, most recently The Least of Us, True Tales of America and Hope in the Time of Fentanyl and Meth. And he's written about drugs before. Back in 2015, he did a book called Dreamland, The True Tale of America's Opiate Epidemic. Sam, you've been writing about this plague, this horror in America of drug addiction and what it does to people. Do you have the sense that since you began writing about this more than 10 years ago, that things have gotten worse?
Thank you for having me on the show, Michael. I would say that there certainly is reason to believe that things have gotten worse. There's no doubt. The what I would consider vast supplies of prescription pain pills that were prescribed by doctors and pushed by drug companies created their own disaster, and that's been replaced in large part by the drugs coming out of Mexico, the synthetic drugs made only with chemicals by the drug trafficking world down there, and you mentioned the two, fentanyl and meth. I have to say, though, that, and it may sound strange because I've been working this a long time, I also am very optimistic. I'm very hopeful. I maybe it's because I've spent so much time among Americans in the last 10, 12 years, you should say, and I just find so many people not giving up, so many people entertaining new ideas, not willing to just dismiss ideas just because, you know, for whatever reason. People are very interested in trying new things. It is difficult for a lot of people working in these fields, from law enforcement to public health to social work, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm finding, too, that since the opioid epidemic began, when I first was writing the book Dreamland, as you mentioned, I found people very reluctant to talk about this, very hidden. In the shadows about the addiction of their loved ones, say, the way their son or their uncle died or what have you. And then as the book came out in 2015, and over the next several years, I saw Americans coming out of the shadow into the light, and that created an enormous new awareness, an enormous new, I thought, optimism about how to deal with it. The pandemic, COVID, really did something to dampen that. But I guess I do believe through all this, having spent so much time traveling the country, so much time meeting with Americans, that this is an optimistic country. And I feel that. I've been a reporter 35 years. You're supposed to be very crusty and cynical, I know. I guess I just don't feel it, in spite of there being very, very dour headlines, as you correctly put.
Well, and again, and the death rate, the rate of overdose deaths is not
higher than
begun
ever
to go down yet. The essence of what you're talking about is, I think that for years and years, the conventional wisdom has been, don't punish the addict, concentrate on the dealer. The emphasis has been on supply side solutions. And what you're saying is we have to do something about the demand side, and that it really requires the force of law to get some of those thousands of people who are living on our streets and just and swimming in a soup of drugs that are stealing their lives and their health and destroying their families. That basically those people have to be dealt with as well with the force of law. What more than anything else led you to that conclusion?
Oh, just doing reporting. I would never have suggested a lot that was in that story that the Atlantic just published 5-7 years ago. I just watched it all take place, and I saw, my feeling is really that this is, I should say this. This is a supply story. This is a supply creating demand. But because the supply coming out of Mexico is so profound, so potent, so unrelenting, it means that these drugs do a phenomenal job of what most drugs of abuse do, which is to squelch or redirect our instincts for survival. Alcohol does it too. Many drugs do it. But these drugs are everywhere, and they are so potent and so cheap that they do a magnificent job of that. I don't believe the old way of saying, well, people need to be ready for treatment, is actually appropriate in this new time. I think the problem is that when you wait for people to be ready on the street, using drugs on the street, like in tent encampments or what have you, for treatment, that will not happen before meth drives them to insanity, which is happening all across the country, and fentanyl kills them, which, as you say, the record numbers of overdoses show is happening as well. And so I think we need to use the powerful leverage that we have gotten away from in many parts of the country of law enforcement. Law enforcement is a wonderful tool, can be used magnificently as a stick when dealing with addiction, pushing people away from the drugs, finding ways of using the leverage of the court system, criminal justice system, to push people away from drug addiction and towards treatment. People need to understand that even though jail today has gotten a bad rap, in a lot of cases, jail has really been the reason why people are sober. I met many
life,
people.
Life-saving. I mean, the other thing you
exactly
do in your piece in Atlantic, which is so important and so needed, is you write candidly and honestly, and many people don't because they dodge it. They don't want to face it. At the connection of fentanyl and meth, particularly with the plague of homelessness, of homeless encampments, which are generally drug-saturated. The piece that we're talking about is a remarkable article. It's heartbreaking to read. It's true stories of tragedy and family breakdown. By Sam Canones. It's in the Atlantic magazine. We've posted it at our website at michaelmedved.com. When we come back, how would this better use of law enforcement work to actually save lives and maybe rebuild some of the context in which people can be safer from these terribly destructive, newly potent, and yes, newly deadly drugs that are saturating the country. We'll be right back with Sam Canones coming up on the MedVed Show.
Michael Medved.
I'm listening to everything you say.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. Back when MyPillow was invented, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly two decades later, they've discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night. And more great news on the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free with promo code MEDVED. MyPillow 2.0 with its temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0 buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code MEDVED at MyPillow.com to get your MyPillow 2.0s today.
Instability, vulnerability, uncertainty, volatility, precarious, unpredictable. Now, all of those words describe our banking system right now, as evidenced by the recent collapse of major banks. Michael Medved here for AmFed Coin and Bullion. This was the second largest bank failure in history, and the Federal Reserve has been scrambling to keep this bank run from spreading. Now, if you feel uneasy about having too much money sitting in the bank, you're not alone. Gold, silver, and platinum have had recent gains as investors look for safe places to park their money. Now more than ever, you need to call my good friends Nick Grovich and Company, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. I've been doing business with Nick for many years, and I wouldn't go anywhere else. Nick and his team of specialists will provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. If you're interested in buying or selling, call AmFed Coin and Bullion, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Show. Sam Canones, a distinguished journalist and storyteller, a former LA Times reporter, author of four widely acclaimed and justly acclaimed books of narrative nonfiction. His most recent book, which came out in 2021, was The Least of Us, True Tales of America and Hope in the Time of Fentanyl and Meth. He has a new article, which is heartbreaking and shocking to read. The article is entitled, In a Time of Fentanyl and Meth, Drug Decriminalization is a Mistake. Sam, maybe you can help to explain to people, because people are very resistant to accepting the truth on this particular issue. What is the connection between fentanyl, methamphetamines, and other drugs, but primarily those, and the encampments we see of people experiencing homelessness everywhere now across our country? What's the connection?
Well, I think a lot of what goes into why people end up on the streets like that has to do with fentanyl and methamphetamine, and the reason why they remain homeless. So a lot of people get homeless for a lot of reasons. One of them, very important, is drug addiction, and these two drugs are intensely drug addictive, and their prevalence, their potency, makes them even more so than they would be otherwise. However, the prevalence of these drugs makes it so that no matter what led you to homelessness, and it could be a lot of things, there's a long, long list we don't have time for right now. They frequently mire people, though anybody, in homelessness once they're on the street, because they're so prevalent. They're so in the face of everyone. And I think it's very difficult to go into any homeless encampment and come away with and argue that, no, drug addiction just really isn't part of the problem. I think it's I don't see how people actually do that. It doesn't mean that everybody is there initially because they were a drug addict. A lot of people are, a lot of people are not, but the prevalence, it's the potency of the, and the prevalence of the supply that is so crippling. And that is what keeps people homeless. That and the fact that we have not really done much to make it a crime to sell this stuff. Or on the contrary, we've retreated from that idea. There's no consequences. Now, selling fentanyl is akin to firing a gun into a crowd. You know you're going to hurt somebody. You know you're going to most likely kill somebody, and yet in many places you still see it kind of treated almost like a misdemeanor, and therefore people just have this attitude like, oh, well, it's just another drug. It isn't. That's the difference. It's not another. We are in a very, very different time. Synthetic drugs, fentanyl and meth, represent a very different departure in almost everything having to do with illicit drug use on the streets of America.
What is the process that people go through in if you're imprisoned and there's a desire, a sincere desire by the government, by the authorities, by the people who are running the prison you're located in, to try to get people clean, to get them off drugs, to allow them to keep their sanity by keeping away from meth, and to keep their lives by keeping away from fentanyl. What's the key element that allows successful treatment to take place?
Well, I believe that what's happening now, let's say in jails, certainly in county jails, the ones I've written about in that story, is to form around you a groups of people who have deep interest in their own recovery from dope. And a lot of these folks, you know, there needs to be a severe accountability. So there are these rules, no fighting, no bartering, no drugs, no weapons, et cetera. If you break any of the rules, you have to leave the pod. Once you get a group of people who accept that, this is certainly the case in Kenton County and Northern Kentucky that I wrote about in the piece. Once you get people who accept that, you develop a recovery atmosphere. So people are eager to break away from that. And it's the breaking away. I believe the crucial first step is breaking away, getting separation from you and the dope, which does not happen on the street. It's important to be ready, to have a readiness for drug treatment. The problem is, where do you find that? On the streets of America today, given the prevalence of these two drugs, it is extraordinarily difficult to develop a readiness, a willingness to find, to opt into treatment and stay. That's why jail is so important in all this. Yes, you have to be arrested. It's the one place, though, where you can develop that readiness because you are away from the dope and you cannot leave. Once the dope says, oh, no, come get me, you must leave now, you can't. It allows that breakage away from there. And to me, this is one of the most important elements that jail now has to offer to people, a blessing, truthfully, in many cases, to people once they are, once they're off the street. It's that break from dope. And to me, that is the essential element here because, as I say, these are unprecedented moments here we're seeing with these two drugs covering the country, all from one essential part of Mexico, and being so prevalent, so potent, it's just a different world now. And we need these new elements of law enforcement, jail being one, arrest being another, and then drug courts being a third. Once you are out, then you are overseen by a judge, and you get your charges expunged, but only after 2 years, usually, of sobriety and going to meetings and a variety of things like that.
One of the things that people used to talk about going back, I think it was actually going back to the Reagan administration, was the war on drugs. And right now, a lot of people said, well, let's have a truce on the war on drugs. I know in California, they even had the Commission on Reparations. They wanted to do special reparations for people who had been caught up in the war on drugs. Do we also need more aggressive moves to try to limit the supply?
Without a doubt, that is certainly a part of it. That's a binational issue that both governments of Mexico and the United States need to address without question. Most counties feel like they're in the middle of an ocean trying to keep back the tide with this dope.
Okay, this is all so important, and it's such a powerful article. Again, we've linked it at our website at michaelmedved.com. Sam Quinones, I appreciate having you on the show again, and we look forward to your coming back soon, because this problem, unfortunately, isn't going away. There are also a brand new front on the charges against President Trump. What is it? We'll talk about it coming up on the MedVed Show.
You're listening to the Mighty Michael MedVed Show. 1-800-955-1776. The Michael MedVed Show.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling 3-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on 3-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. Former President Trump's lawyers met with Justice Department officials today regarding a special counsel investigation into alleged mishandling of classified documents and possible obstruction. Trump's team had requested the meeting, citing prosecutorial misconduct concerns. China's military is becoming increasingly aggressive in the Taiwan Strait and South China Sea, and that's not sitting well with the U.S.
We're going to continue to keep the lines open with the Chinese and make it clear how unacceptable those particular intercepts are.
National Security Council Council spokesman John Kirby said a Chinese warship came dangerously close to a U.S. Navy destroyer over the weekend. Saudi Arabia, the largest oil producer in OPEC, will reduce its daily oil production by 1 million barrels this summer. Despite OPEC's earlier commitment to maintain production levels for the rest of 2023, the move is expected to drive up gas prices in the U.S. John Schaefer, USA News.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Michael Medved.
Here you go again.
There's news today that is breaking about the special prosecutor, Jack Smith, who has been set up to look at President Trump's handling of classified documents and his handling of January 6th. And there's actually another matter that seems to be close to new indictments, but we will get to that. Let me go first to Patrick in Seattle, who's calling on the issue of drugs that we were just talking about, very destructive drugs, and homelessness. Patrick, you're on the Medved Show.
Thank you, Mr. Medved, for having me. I appreciate you.
You bet.
Yeah, so I won't give away any names here, but I'm retired military myself. I did 20 years in the... did two branches. I did 10 in the Air Force, 10 in the Army. When I got out, I didn't really know what to do. And so I ended up working for this company that basically leased a hotel in downtown Seattle. And the idea was to bring in people off the street, give them a place to stay for roughly about a month, and then put them into permanent housing of some sorts, either paid for by the city or like a payment program. And I tell you, out of the 150 rooms that we had, Michael, we brought in roughly about 200 people off the street, put about 175 into permanent housing. Now those 175, roughly about 90% went right back to the street. And it's just, you know, I was listening to that gentleman talk about, you know, the drugs and stuff like that. And drugs definitely play a role in it. I mean, you know, it was once a week, this van would come around and it was paid for by the city, and they had every single kind of paraphernalia tool that you could think of. I mean, it was unbelievable. And, you know, they would flock to it and go to it and get all their stuff. And, I mean, she had everything except the drug itself. And, you know,
and this was provided by the city of Seattle?
This was provided by the city of Seattle, yeah.
Uh-huh. Wow.
This whole program was, and you know, in conjunction with to really combat the homelessness problem, and the hotel program actually started in San Francisco, and it was an abomination. I mean,
it's been a disaster in both San Francisco and in Seattle. Patrick, you say that people would be right back on the streets after. How long would that process take? Are we talking about days or weeks or months?
So the program was designed to bring them in off the street, put them in a hotel for 30 days. Of course, that was not adhered to at all. The people stayed longer. They made it their permanent residence. People destroyed the hotel. But the idea, the basic fundamental idea was to get people in off the street, for 30 days, and then why we find housing for them, either paid for completely by the city under taxpayer dollars, or some sort of, payment program where they only have to pay like 30% of their rent or something like that. And they, you know, these people that we've, I'm not saying that it was a complete, there were some people who did move on. They got off the street. They weren't on drugs. They moved on to have better lives, and the program actually worked for them. But that percentage is pale in comparison to the percentage that actually failed the program and went right back to the street. And it would happen. It was all over the place as far as how far they, you know, within days or months, but no one lasted more than 6 months when they got to permanent housing, some sort of apartment or shared house. They wouldn't last 6 months. They would either end up destroying the property, causing property damage, or the drugs were just too rampant and the property owners just couldn't have it anymore.
So having worked, how long did you work in this capacity, Patrick?
So the program was designed for 6 months. It was kind of like a pilot program. I had to live on site in the hotel, and I was working directly with these people, doing intakes, working with them, creating profiles for them, working with them to establish, connections with like mental health, psychiatric help, drug help, stuff like that. So I lived there for 6 months with them.
So, okay, that's a great deal of experience. Were there any cases during the 6 months you worked there where people actually overdosed and died?
We never had any deaths. We did have quite a few people that did overdose. We always had Narcan on site. We always had to keep basically an EMT bag style ready with us at all times, because we would even go as far as putting those boxes for where you can deposit your used needles. We would put those in everyone's room, because we just knew that we were basically encouraging it to an extent. I mean, the program was saying, hey, we're not going to judge you for doing drugs. So go ahead and do them at your will.
Okay, so the question would be, you've had experience up close in this. What needs to be done to make this more effective rather than just this waste of taxpayers' monies and waste of people's lives when they just end up back on the streets with more drugs? What could be done better?
I am so glad you asked that question. This is a huge mental health issue. The first problem is that we need to combat the drugs that are coming over our border from Mexico. We need to stop that dead in its tracks. We need to cut the head off the snake. We need to cut the head right off the snake and just be done with that. Then we need to focus a lot of our attention on mental health. We here in Seattle, we the mental health crisis is beyond explainable. It's beyond explainable. It's unreal how crazy it is. And we don't, instead of focusing our attention, instead of the city council focusing their attention on the mental health crisis, they'd rather focus their attention on silly laws like, you know, like in Everett, you can't camp out at places and stuff like that. It's like, that's all great and stuff, but the mental health crisis is out of control. We just simply don't have enough funding towards it. And so it's a two-part issue. It's just, we need to cut the head right off the snake and then also combat mental health.
Yeah, part of the story, Patrick, and you know this, and I was just reading a new report on it, a new article, that says that in 1955, the percentage of people who were committed in state mental hospitals, it was more than 10 times the number of people who are in mental health facilities today. And it's not because the country has become so much more sane. It's just because we have lost that ability, which Sam Quinones was talking about, to use law enforcement and commitment proceedings regarding mental health to prevent people from doing profound harm to themselves and to others. Thank you for your call and your perspective, Patrick, and thanks for your service to your country and two tours, and one in the Army and one in the Air Force. When we come back, the latest problem for President Trump has to do with studies examining election fraud. What's wrong with that? Why should that get the former president into trouble? We'll talk about it on The Medved Show.
It's outrageous what's going on out here.
The Michael Medved Show.
I had pain in my hands that kept me from work and doing projects around the home. I heard about Relief Factor on the radio and began taking it, and it left me with pain-free hands again. I was able to do the things around the house that I enjoy doing. I'm so glad I found Relief Factor.
This is a dietary supplement. It is totally natural. I wouldn't be without it. I take it every day. It's gotten me through the hard days of winter and pandemic and more, and helps you feel better, whether it's aches and pains or Relief Factor can help. It's made from natural products, including turmeric and fish oil, that is all blended together in a proprietary blend that actually works for people around the world. It's a great product. You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. Go to michaelmedved.com and just click on the banner for Relief Factor. Some of America's most important principles, like freedom of conscience, speech, rule of law, sanctity and dignity of human life, the family, and economic freedom, are under contemporary assault. It's more important than ever to teach our nation's traditional values and timeless principles. Now, these sometimes forgotten values must be remembered and communicated, and the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College exists to accomplish just that. The Institute promotes these principles to the next generation of leaders on campus and across the country. Go to the website faithandfreedom.com and you'll find online courses on Ronald Reagan and James Madison, and above all, a vigorous defense of Western civilization and its highest values. Advocating for these timeless principles is why Grove City College continues to be a beacon in higher education. Go to faithandfreedom.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
At Social Security, we are always thinking of ways to save you time and make things easier. That's why we created My Social Security. Opening a My Social Security account gives you secure access to your personal record and interactive tools tailored for you. You can see if you are eligible to receive benefits, view spousal benefit estimates, and compare retirement benefit estimates at different ages or dates when you want to start receiving benefits. Already receiving benefits? Use your account to change your address, set up or change direct deposit, get a proof of income letter, and more. In most states, you can also request a replacement Social Security card. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security. Securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Politics to pop culture, and from coast to coast, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And there's a lot of talk today. It's a very prominent part of the news about the Jack Smith investigation of President Trump. He's supposed to be looking at President Trump's handling or mishandling of classified documents, and also the president's role in handling January 6th, which was when he was still president and still our commander-in-chief. The NBC News reports prosecutors face two central legal questions. Number one, did Trump wrongfully retain classified documents after he left the White House? And number two, did he later obstruct the government's efforts to retrieve them? If Special Counsel Jack Smith decides to charge Trump, it would be the first time a former president has been charged with a federal crime. And there's another serious federal crime that has come up today. There's an article in Washington Post that follows a fascinating course, because when you read first about it, it sounds like, how could you say that this involved anything negative for President Trump? It sounds very positive. It sounds very appropriate for the President of the United States. And it says, headline, Trump-funded studies disputing election fraud are the focus in two probes. Subheading, the then-president's campaign hired two firms to prove voter fraud. Okay, what's wrong with that? Listen carefully. A decision by then-President Donald Trump's campaign to spend more than $1 million for two firms to study whether electoral fraud occurred in the 2020 election has become an increasing focus of federal and state investigators in recent weeks, according to people familiar with called Space Medic. Jack Smith is questioning witnesses about the company's work and has obtained hundreds of pages of emails and research. Both firms, Berkeley Research Group and Simpatico Software Systems, SSS, are said to be cooperating fully with the inquiries. Earlier this spring, federal prosecutors obtained evidence from Berkeley employees that in late 2020, the White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows berated employees at their firm after they said there was not enough evidence to overturn the election results and encouraged them to find fraud, people with knowledge of the testimony said. Additionally, federal authorities have obtained extensive email records from Ken Block, the president of Simpatico Software Systems. According to people familiar with the matter, the emails from Block to Trump and his campaign show in detail that many of the theories, more than a dozen in total, being pushed by Trump's team were erroneous, and Block explains the research he conducted. The people said there were dozens of emails that said that Block at times seemed to be amazed at the theories he was being asked to pursue, along with the shoddiness of the methodology that others had used. The hiring of the two firms, which were paid about $1.5 million in total, and whose work spanned both November and December of 2020, originated from senior White House advisors and campaign officials who wanted to know whether any of the claims of electoral wrongdoing could be verified. What prosecutors have sought to show, according to people who have been questioned, is that Trump and his aides willfully ignored evidence in their push to raise money and overturn the election. They raised a total of $250 million after the election in order to overturn the election. And that a panoply of advisors had access to the data. The evidence is compelling to prosecutors because it is not neutral or third-party groups saying that Trump actually lost the election, but instead analysts whose work Trump's own team commissioned and funded to the tune of $1.5 million. This goes on. The difficulty here is that with this material that they're getting from these two companies that Trump hired to look at this issue of fraud, it becomes harder and harder to accept that President Trump and his aides could actually believe that the fraud had occurred to the level they were charging publicly. And they were charging it publicly partially to raise money, but to raise that $250 million, that is definitionally wire fraud, which is a very serious crime. And one which could well be added to this list of problems that President Trump is experiencing. One of the problems that we experience as a country right now has the ongoing war in Ukraine. What's interesting is another presidential candidate, Vivek Ramaswamy, who was on television with Martha Raddatz, and he talked about ending the war. Here's what he had to say. This is clip 10.
I don't trust Putin, but I do trust Putin to follow his self-interest. I don't think he enjoys being the little brother in the relationship with Xi Jinping. And so what I think we need to do is end the Ukraine war on peaceful terms that, yes, do make some major concessions to Russia, including freezing the current lines of control in a Korean War-style armistice agreement.
Ukraine really wouldn't want to do.
Which Ukraine wouldn't want to do, and also a permanent commitment not to allow Ukraine to enter NATO. But in return, Russia has to leave its treaty and its joint military agreement with China. That better advances American interests and actually further deters China from going after Taiwan, which I think is a much higher priority for the United States.
Let me ask.
Okay, again, what he's talking about basically is forcing Ukraine to lose the war. This is an issue that is dividing Republican candidates for president. And I don't believe that the Republican base is that divided. I think that most people who identify as Republicans believe in a very strong America with a leading role in the world and do care about Ukraine not surrendering or giving up its national existence or identity. Speaking of national existence and identity, there's a special place in many worlds, not just one. It's the Spider-Verse. Big new hit movie. Super hit. Critics love it. Is that deserved? It's called Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Listen.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
A 15-year-old Brooklyn kid named Miles Morales is the new Spider-Man in the ambitious sequel to the 2018 smash hit Into the Spider-Verse. It's called Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
So wait a minute, there's an elite crew with all the best spider people in it?
Who's the new guy?
This is unbelievable. This is the lobby.
What's a guy got to do to join this spider team?
Well, what you really got to do is watch the first film in order to figure out what's going on here. We're spectacular animation and capable vocal talent, including Oscar Isaac and Haley Steinfeld, can't make up for the confusing complexity of an intricate saga from three different writers and three different directors. It's rated PG for plenty of comic book action, but feels like one very long 2.5-hour setup to the next installment in the series. 2.5 stars for the latest Spider-Man, which has to drag you across the Spider-Verse. And next time on the Michael Medved Show, there is a pleasant surprise that nobody can quite figure out. Suddenly, in 2023, first 5 months, the murder rate has started falling. Why would that be happening for the first time in several years? We'll talk about it Tuesday, tomorrow on the Medved Show. And we were just talking about the Spider-Man movie. Well, it's not that movie, but another big hit film where at a Florida screening there was a really nasty and bloody fight that broke out. Now, what film were they watching? You will be shocked to hear. There are also people in Congress, both Republicans and Democrats, who are saying, okay, it's about time. We've got to get rid of the debt ceiling once and for all. Get it done altogether. And an article says that America is headed almost inexorably toward total collapse, but that history suggests how to stave off that collapse. So how do we do it? What do we need to do? We'll talk about it next time in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master plan destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit KaanapaliResort.com. That's KaanapaliResort.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.